Running a call center sales team is definitely filled with challenges, but at the same time, can be very rewarding. There is no manual for how to win the call center sales game, which is why this podcast exists. As your guide, our goal is to help you overcome challenges, discover new tools, innovate where possible, and hear stories from others who have made it to the top of the call center mountain. Welcome to the Scalable Call Center Sales Podcast with your host, Jason Cutter.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Jason Cutter here. Welcome to this week's Authentic Persuasion Weekly Live Training Session. This is session 24. So glad that you're tuning in wherever you're watching this, whether it's on LinkedIn, it's on Facebook, it's on YouTube, it's via the Zoom Direct webinar link. Maybe you're watching it live, maybe you're watching the replay, or you're listening to it on the podcast, wherever you're tuning in from and where. Thank you for being here. I'm so excited. To me, I do these, and I mention this each time, because I want to help positively influence the world of sales, help people realize there's another way. There's something else other than manipulation, tricks, bribing people, offering discounts, closing tactics that feel gross, and just in general things that benefit the salesperson, but not the customer, and leave a negative impression in the world of sales and lead to sales being a dirty word in the minds of so many people out there in the world, so many consumers, so many of us, even to this day. Like, I was recording a podcast with two amazing people yesterday, and one of the topics that came up is still how I still don't feel like I'm in sales, because sales feels like this gross, dirty word. And I know I am, and I know I help people with sales, and I know so many of you tuning in are in sales, yet it's that feeling that sales is still gross and dirty, and use some other word just because of that negative connotation. That's why I'm here. That's why I do these sessions, to help empower and encourage over a million authentic persuaders in the world. Because just imagine if something like authentic persuasion, and like my friend Jeff Kerchek and his authentic selling, and Larry Levine's selling from the heart, and these kind of strategies that shift from the old school way to, I'm just going to say, a new school way, using empathy and seeing sales as service. Just imagine if we filled the world of salespeople with that kind of strategy, mindset, focus, and what that would do for companies, for customers, and then obviously for people in sales. That's why I do this. That's why I do everything that I do, is to help with mindset and scalability of call centers, of sales teams, of individuals, and just helping people succeed by being of service to their clients. So that's why we're here. That's why I'm doing this. Thank you again for tuning in. It means a lot to me. I it's one of those things where when you say thank you, it's because somebody gave you a gift, and I appreciate your time. And if you're watching this, listening in live or the replay, it means that you are dedicating some time to improving yourself and your sales process, or looking for things that you can share with your team. If that does apply to you, make sure to hit like, leave a comment wherever you're watching this, listening to it, subscribe, depending on where it's at. Make sure to check out the YouTube channel. If you're not already subscribed to the YouTube channel, we just exceeded 500 on the way to breaking through 600 subscribers, putting out as much content as I can on there. If you just go to YouTube and search Jason Cutter, you'll find the channel, subscribe, follow me there. Last session, in session 23, was all about mindset and mental health, how to stay focused, how to set goals, and how to be careful not to use comparison to kind of bring yourself down, how to focus on the positives and really create a plan mentally to help with the mindset, with the challenges that come with sales. Even when you're doing well in sales, sales is tough mentally, because it feels like you're losing more than winning. Missed opportunities, things that don't come through, people that don't call you back. If you're amazing, you're closing 30, 40%, which means you're still more times than not closing deals on those opportunities. And you've got to be careful with that. Set yourself up. The world right now feels difficult enough from a mental health standpoint, and so many people struggling with that outwardly or inwardly. And sales just magnifies that. It's just a tough game. It's why a lot of people cannot imagine being in sales, because they just can't handle the ups, the downs, the rejections, the things that come with it. If you're in sales, you know what that's like. Just take care of yourself. Please check out episode 23, session 23. and listen to what I focus on to help you, from things like vision boards to progress boards to affirmations to everything that I can think of that could help you with your mindset. So in this episode, in session 24, I want to talk about sales process. Now, it's one of those things where the pure salespeople out there don't necessarily like the thought of a sales process. It's the one thing I come up against every single time I'm working with a team, working with a group, working with an organization, presenting to an audience, is the people in the group who feel like they shouldn't be told what a process is, or be told to use a process, or be required to follow a system or implement something new. A lot of people who get into sales are there because they feel like they have some natural ability, some God-given talents, and have worked on it for years such that they can have conversations. They can talk people into things. You hear this all the time, is people just let me do what I do best and have conversations and move people forward and talk people into buying, right? It's the kind of person who has spent a portion of their life and realizing they have the ability to talk themselves into and out of situations, right? Out of trouble or into something that they really want. And they're using that in sales. And really what they're hoping for is just find a place and an opportunity where they can just do what they want to do without the structure, without the systems, without the processes, maybe without much accountability, while at the same time with a uncapped compensation plan. And that may work. That kind of person or focus or strategy is could be valuable. I'm just trying to think of how I want to phrase this. Could be valuable. The challenge is that it's also not scalable. And the difficulty is when it's not working, when that individual hits that slump and has a difficulty in converting deals or following through, or, you know, with their mindset or their processes, it's tough, because if there is no structure around that person and they're just kind of doing what they always do, then it's really tough to figure out why it's not working. It's tough to coach, manage, help that person, mentor them, and guide them back onto a positive direction with good results, because it's just kind of all in their head. There is no system. There is no process. Now, here's what I fundamentally know, though, is even talking about that kind of individual, and I can picture so many people, so many faces come to mind as I think of all of the different people who that's their response to me when I say, hey, we're rolling out a process, or we should use this script, or here's like the bullet points of a process, is there the response and the resistance that says, no, I don't want to do that. I have my own thing and it works really well. Here's what I do know, is that whatever they're doing, whatever they have, is actually a system and a process. It's in their head. For most of the time, people have it, even if it's not documented, even if it's not laid out, even if people don't love flow charts and spreadsheets and Word documents as much as I do, there's something they're doing consistently over and over again if they're operating like a professional. And that's the key. A professional shows up every day and does what they need to do. They put in the effort. They put in the time. They've got the 5 success traits that I've talked about earlier in the show. They're open. They're curious. They're creative. They're persistent. And they're authentic. Combining those things, they know what to do. They show up every day, no matter what, no matter what's going on in their life, no matter if they don't feel well. They are a professional in the purest sense, and they show up and they do what they need to do, and they get consistent results, and they're open to feedback, and they're always looking to improve. That person has a process. They are following a routine. If you take 10 of their meetings, 10 of their phone calls, stack them up together, the fundamentals of that, their process is going to be all the same. The things they say as their transitions from one step to another are the same, right? Like, I've done that with reps who aren't using my script, aren't using my process, and literally saw what they did, deconstructed that, created a script and process out of that for others to try to use in a way that works for them. So there's that professional at one end of the spectrum. Then there's the people in the middle who are just playing at sales and think, I don't need that, but they're not showing up like a professional. They're not open. They're not curious. They're not necessarily working on themselves. They're not trying to get better. They think they know it all. They've hit kind of this professional level in their mind, but the results aren't there. The consistent results aren't there. and the attitude isn't there. And that's usually a challenge. And then you have the other end of the spectrum where there's so many people who are in sales, the people who I would usually label as order takers based on the results. They're closing the easy ones. They are using empathy, rapport, building a lot of trust. Their prospects like them. They buy from them because they like them, not because they're super effective, skilled persuaders or influencers, but just because people like them and trust them. And it seems like it's a good fit and that they can help them. That group there is typically not managed enough, isn't given enough tools. They're kind of thrown into a sales process or a sales situation, given some leads and marketing, giving some kind of direction. And then everybody is just hoping it's going to work out. The company's hoping, managers are hoping, salesperson's hoping. Hope is not enough. And what happens is that person is not, it does not have a sales process, but is wanting one, right? There's so many people I see that are just eager and craving. They want to be successful in sales. They want to make the money that they were promised by the organization or that they think they need, or to make the items on their vision board a reality. And they're just craving and itching for a process, for a system, for anything that will help them achieve consistent results. And that's one of the biggest benefits. When we talk about being a sales process, if you're not sure about a sales process, if you're not sure if you want to build one or why one would be valuable or why you think it would be important, the key is what you're looking for is scalable, consistent, expected results. Now, sales, it's tough. It's tough because you've got one human, your salesperson or you, talking to and trying to persuade and helping people get unstuck. And they're another messy, scared, confused human that they're dealing with, which is the prospective client. And the reason I say messy, scared, and confused is because if they weren't those things, they would have already bought. It would be an easy conversation. I've talked about this so much before, is that your prospect is in the middle of their comfort zone. They're afraid of one thing, which is change. And your job is to help them see the value in that, understand that it's safe. And then your job is to guide them, right? And SAFE stands for successful at fear elimination. That's your one job. Now, in order to do that at scale, you have to have a process. You have to have a system. You have to have consistent training. You have to have everything around that sales process and that salesperson or yourself if you're in sales in order to do that as consistently as possible. Now, again, it's tough to do it very consistent because you're dealing with another human and humans aren't consistent. They aren't predictable. However, if you're doing it at scale and you're looking at a certain timeline, you can get consistent, predictable results that can scale over a long enough period. Now, what happens is you can have a bad day, you can have a good day. Bad week, a good week, month, quarter, year, and so on. But looking at it in a timeline that makes sense, say, okay, if you're doing sales that generally have a shorter sales cycle, week to week, month to month, how are we doing? Okay, I'm creating this consistent. I want to do 20 sales a month. How am I doing? Am I creating that? Am I evening out the dips so that it's not so much a spike up and then just zero results for so many days? How do I level that out? How do I make sure I'm planting enough seeds so there's always a harvest available? There's always something for me to sow and then reap and move people forward in a process. And the only way to do that is to have a consistent process you follow every time that's documented. Yes, salespeople, documented and a part of what you're doing every day that you or your manager are holding you accountable to and making sure you follow that process. One of the big things, like in yesterday's private group coaching session that I run, one of the topics that came up was somebody who asked about interacting with people. They did some cold call, in-person cold visits. It's a B2B sale process that they're doing. The person seemed interested at the end. And this person who's new to selling this product didn't necessarily set up a strong follow-up. And so it's about figuring out what do you have to do from a consistent process standpoint? How do you script out? How do you plan? How do you set yourself up for success? So you're doing the same thing every time, no matter what, and building that habit and building the routine with that. So it's one of the things that is, if you want to be successful in sales at scale, consistent, predictable, and long-term, it's about having a consistent process. Now, a lot of people fight that. A lot of people think, oh, it's in my head. I'll just do it. Document it. Put this down, write it down, write down your transitions from each section, write down the five sections or the sections of your process that you have to do to go from here to here to here to here. If you've listened to the other or gone through the other training sessions that I've done on these weekly ones, you know that in my authentic persuasion pathway, that there's five that I have outlined as the giant pillars, which is rapport, empathy, trust, hope, and urgency. Line out what you're going to do if those are the five that you're going to use. How are you going to transition from each one? And then how do you consistently ensure that you do that on every single phone call? Not every single sale, but every call, because every call that you have, every meeting that you have, every interaction is a self-contained sales process. Even if you're calling someone to follow up on something, to then, you know, maybe move the contract forward, that conversation is a sale. Right? Because there's an opening, a middle, and a close. There's the beginning of it. And then there's where you want to go with it next, right? Maybe you want to set up a further meeting with a decision maker, or you want them to sign the agreement and get it back to you, or pay an invoice. There's something you're going to want to persuade them to do, some action you want them to take that they haven't taken yet. And so when you look at it like that, every call, every interaction, every meeting is a sales process, is a conversation, and you should follow the same things. Now, obviously, if we're using the five from the authentic persuasion pathway, the rapport, empathy, trust, hope, and urgency, then what happens is in that, if it's a follow-up conversation about moving a contract forward, you don't need to spend a lot of time on rapport. You don't need to spend a lot of time on empathy or trust building. So those are going to be abbreviated, but they must occur every single time. And generally they do anyway. You don't realize it. The difference is professionals put in a process. They follow a consistent process. They move things forward and they do it the same way every time, right? So that's the key with having a sales process. Write it down. And here's the big key as well. Here's one of the big factors. And I see this a lot, even with people who think they've got it all nailed down. They think they've got it figured out. What happens is slumps happen. I've talked about this before. I talked about this several weeks ago about slumps. One of the things that happens with a slump is people go off of their plan. They go away from the process, the systems, the structures, and the things that they did before that was working. Instead, they start freestyling. They start thinking they know everything. They start usually talking too much and not about the right things, not following the plan that they had that used to work, not letting the other person be the hero of the story. And so many things that I cover in these training sessions that usually leads to a slump. When you have a process, when you have a system, when you have structure in place, when you hit that slump, then you can pull that out, right? Because it's usually buried. I used to see this when running call centers. Usually that script, that process, the bullet points, the checklist, whatever you have for your process is buried deep in the drawer at your desk underneath all your snacks. You pull it out. It's covered in maybe, you know, coffee rings and doodles and all kinds of stains all over it. You haven't seen it in a while. Pull that out and get back to the process that worked. That is the key. So make sure you do that every time. And the next phase with this, because here's where it's also important to keep in mind, is you have a process, you have a structure, you have a system in place that you do, and you always want to be finding ways to improve it, right? In marketing, in so many things, you want to A/B test. I've got my standard. I've got my control group. This is what works well for getting results. Now let me try something else and see if there's a tweak, if there's a change, if there's a different approach. In marketing, maybe it's a different headline, a different color. When I used to run direct mail campaigns to drive inbound leads, sometimes it was a different type of envelope with a window, with no window, with a window with blue paper. So you could see blue paper through the envelope or yellow paper or red paper, different information on the letter. So many different experiments where you have your control and then you're running and testing all these other things. When it comes to a sales process, it comes to the conversations, it comes to the structure of what you're doing. You want to make sure at all times you have your control group. You have what works right in your process. And you want to be testing, you want to be tweaking, you want to be changing things, especially in sales, because what happens is the conversations change over time. A, you'll get better. You'll get more effective, more efficient at what you're doing. And B, consumers change, not just like in the demographic you're talking to, but consumers' interests change. If we look at how people buy now, myself included, versus 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, everyone has all the world's information at their fingertips in their hands, right? Like they aren't calling a salesperson generally to find out facts and figures and features and benefits, right? If somebody is going on to a car dealership lot in this day and age, flying blind and being like, hey, let's just go check out cars and see cars and test drive some cars and see what we might want to buy. My first response to that is you almost deserve what's going to happen to you, right? Because that salesperson who's going to feel like they have all the knowledge and power, they're going to hold that over you. And I promise you're not going to get the greatest deal. Most people wouldn't do that in this era. Most people know, like, I'm looking for this car. I know the information. I know the horsepower. I know this rating and that rating and the quality. And I've read reviews and I'm aware of it. Now I just want to touch it and I feel it and experience it. And then be able to drive this thing and then see if this is something I want in person, right? And people even skip that step and just order it online through different car buying processes because they literally don't need to see it. They don't need to drive it. They don't want to deal with a salesperson. They would rather literally order a car through a vending machine, have it delivered so they can bypass the sales process and dealing with salespeople, which is always an indicator of how broken that historically broken that system is and that process is. So the key is that you want to be experimenting because buyers change. They don't need knowledge and information. Now, if you're making outbound calls and somebody filled out a form and then you're reaching out to them, maybe they need some knowledge, they need some information, but most likely they're looking for wisdom. And so you want to be experimenting. You want to be trying different things to show that you're helping somebody in a way that they want to be helped, not in a way that you think they want to be helped, right? Meeting them where they're at. So you want to be experimenting. Now, here's the key with that. And this is one of the mistakes I see so many people in sales do is they do a set of phone calls. Something's not working. Their intro's not working. Their voicemail's not working. It feels like nothing's working. So they tweak, they change. Maybe they throw the whole thing out, right? They read a book and it says, hey, try this for prospecting. Okay. And then they read a different book. Try this for influencing people. Read a different book. Try this for overcoming objections and literally just chasing the right answer and chasing the right process. Then what happens is you're constantly experimenting, constantly changing and trying different things. And then the challenge with that is if anything works, anyone responds positively, you have literally no idea how to track that back to what exactly you did. Of course, it could be that one voicemail you left, but is that the right voicemail or was it just the right voicemail for that person at that time? And if that's the case, then how do you know that would work at scale? So one of the biggest keys, if any of you remember what going through science classes and understanding the scientific process back from the days in school is that you change one item, you change one factor, one part in an experiment or a process to see what the results are, right? If I had this, this, and this, I'm going to get a red liquid. If I had this, this, and then I change the third one, I'll get a blue liquid, right? Now I know it's that third one. What some people in sales do is they change, they do all three, they get red, they didn't want red. Then they change all the factors, try everything different, they get a different result. And it's like, okay, which factor, which made the difference, which led to it? So when you have your sales process and when you're tweaking and changing things, trying a different intro, trying a different way of setting appointments, right? Trying a different voicemail, do that, change one thing, track the changes, and then see what the results are before trying something else. Just be careful, fight that instinct, which comes from usually a desperate place, a desperate to get results. We just need to figure this out mode where you just throw it all out the window and you're just trying all new things and chasing it. Because once you start chasing it, if it does work, you literally won't know why. Fundamentally, the big thing with processes, and this is where a lot of people in sales get freaked out when I mention scripts, when they hear about scripts, when they hear about these set processes and things, and people feel restricted. That's not why they got in sales. They got in sales so they could do what they wanted, like I said in the beginning, is you want to make sure that your processes, your scripts, your structure, everything that you've built is giving you direction, but also flexible, because again, you're dealing with another human, and that human is messy and unpredictable, and you can't script out and plan every single thing that you're going to say, that they're going to say back, that you could then say. Like, that's not possible. If it was possible, or when that moment does become possible, robots will literally take over the sales process, because we won't need people anymore to think on their feet and react and then move other people forward. We'll just have AI do it, right? We'll have robots take over the sales process. So just remember, and use this analogy, is that your sales process should be like trying to go on a road trip. If you're going from California to New York, then the key is you want to make sure you know where your destination is, right? So you want to make sure that you know where you want to go. In this case, you're in the sales process. You know you want to get them to setting an appointment, sending over the contract, reviewing the proposal, buying and grabbing their credit card at the end of the call, whatever that looks like. You want to make sure that you know where the destination is. And like that road trip, many things are going to happen. Depending on your sales cycle, it could be a long road trip, right? You could be going from California to New York. It might be a short road trip where it's California to, it's LA to San Francisco, where you can do that in one shot and there's very little deviation that should happen. Either way, you want to account for and be ready for the detours, but know where you're going. And you always want to know, like, here's the destination, how long it takes to get there, what kind of detours, traffic, maybe car breaks down, how many rest stops, how many times we're going to eat, all of those things. Like, those are going to be part of it, but you know where you're going. And that's so important, is to have that clear and have your roadmap with the milestones, right? And if you're taking that long road trip from California to New York, it's about, all right, we're starting here. By the end of day one, we want to be here. By the end of day two, we want to be here. Like, this is what we want to do as the big milestones. And when we look at the sales process, that's the same thing that I outlined with the authentic persuasion pathway, which is those big pillars, right? Which is the rapport, the empathy, the trust, the hope, and the urgency. Those would be our 5 days on the road trip. What happens in each one of those? Who knows? We have our ideas, we have our hopes, we have our guesses, we have what we'd like to have happen, and then let's just see where it goes. But knowing that by the end of that part of, let's say, of rapport, we're going to use a transition statement, then we're going to move to empathy. At the end of empathy, we're going to use a statement and then get into trust, right? And those are the parts. You want to make sure you have that process. And then lastly, which is something I've mentioned before, and we're talking about process, we're talking about scripts and talking about things like that, full on word for word scripts, I think, are very valuable and important. I so think they're important, mostly for people who are new. If you're new in a sales process, in a sales role, then it's about using that to help you not have to think about what you're supposed to say. Right? Some of that is literally, okay, if I know I have a script and I know I'm going to read it word for word, which again, stay with me here. I know some of you are probably already wanting to respond or yell out about scripts, but if you're new, then I want you to read that script. Don't sound like a robot, which I'll get to in a minute, but read the script so that you don't have to think about what you're going to say next, because it's literally right there. One of the problems is so many people in sales get caught up with thinking about what they're going to say next, that they don't actually listen to the other person. They're not using active listening. They are just too busy thinking about what they're going to say next, which a lot of people do in life, in real conversations, happens to most everybody. People aren't listening. They're thinking about what they're going to say, what their response is, the story that they have, how they're going to one-up you. In sales, it's even more to the extreme, because that salesperson has the drive/pressure on themselves to close the deal and make money, right? Or meet their quota or whatever that looks like for them. And so there's this other pressure that they're putting on to the performance of that conversation. So what happens is people tend to not listen. They're not using active listening. When you become a pro in sales, in my opinion, and when you're going to achieve real results in sales, is the moment where you no longer have to think about what you're going to say next. You no longer have to think about it. You know your process, you know your roadmap, you know what you're going to do, you know where you're going, and you no longer have to think about what you're going to say as somebody else is talking. In the same way, if you've driven for long enough, using that analogy, and you're going on a road trip, if you've done that road trip before, you no longer have to worry about like, where am I going to stop for gas? How are we going to find food? How long is it going to take? What about this? You just get in the car and go. Because you know, you've done it before. You know the process. You know how it works. Maybe even know your favorite stops. Literally don't have to think about it anymore. Or you trust yourself enough to know, I will find food. I will find gas. I will find a place to stay. Nothing more interesting. And I've done it a few times in my life, getting in the car for a long road trip without a overnight stay planned, because I don't know how far I'm going to get. And I don't know what's going to happen. And literally finding a place to stay in that evening, in that moment, in whatever town is approaching, that takes a different level of trust, where it's like, I just trust that it's going to work out. Same thing in these conversations. Back to the scripting. When you're new in sales, there's so many things to think about that you've got to have a script. And that takes the pressure off your mind of what am I going to say next? Instead, you can just listen. You can just trust the process. You can just go through it, and it doesn't matter. Now, when we talk about scripts, one of the best things that I recommend, there's actually a video by Victor Antonio about it. Longtime sales guru, puts out a lot of content, has one of the best YouTube channels out there with so many subscribers. He's been doing it for so long. But there's a video that I saw in, I'm going to guess 2017, that one of my managers found for me when we were rolling out a new script to the team, and everyone was fighting it and everyone was complaining about wanting to use a script and blah, blah, like all the common stuff that comes up. And I've mentioned it before on these sessions, but the script, the video by Victor Antonio talks about scripting, and it's great. I recommend it. Just Google it, go in YouTube, search Victor Antonio scripts. I don't know how many he has on that topic, but there's one where he talks about, you know, Broadway plays and movies and TV shows and how they're scripted. It's consistent. They are following a script. Unless they're ad-libbing in a movie for some little snippet, it's all scripted, but it doesn't feel scripted. So the problem is not scripts. It's the people who read it like a robot because they're defiant, almost like a child who doesn't want to do something that they're being asked to do. It's somebody who's in their mind, they're thinking, I don't want to use a script. Scripts are the problem. I'm not here to use scripts. I just want to do it my own way. And they're being defiant. And that's what makes scripts sound bad. You could literally read a script where nobody knows that you're reading a script, but you are, because you're reading it like you're an actor in a TV show or a movie or a Broadway play. So the scripts are so important. What happens at some point is you move on to bullet points, the sections, the five parts I talked about, the transitions, and that's what fills it in. That's what you want to have scripted. That's what you want to use every time. And that's what you want to hold yourself accountable to. No matter how long you have been in sales, one of the best things you can do is just have that in front of you at all times. If you're on the phone, doing Zoom meetings, whatever that looks like, just to keep yourself on track, keep yourself accountable, and move forward. It's all about that process. And it's so important. And as I've been going through this, some chats that I've been seeing here, and I did want to recognize them. I was on a roll, but my friend Nick, press one for Nick, he put in the LinkedIn chat, it's all about the sales experience, which is true. That's the goal, right? All of this is about the sales experience that you're providing. And the problem is that without a process, without systems, without scripts, without holding yourself accountable, without the structure built around it, that sales experience is going to be different. It's going to be all over the place. And one of the problems is that it could lead to really bad customer experiences because the sales experience was inconsistent, because you might have said and done different things each time because you're all over the map. Now that person becomes a customer and they were told this versus that. Their expectation was set over here instead of over here. And then the problem is it doesn't line up with what they're actually getting as a customer. And so some of that is to create and facilitate the customer experience. And I love what Nick put in there. If anyone's reading the LinkedIn chats, he said sales experience in capital letters, because he and I are working on a book, hopefully be published in the next 2 weeks. It'll be my second physical printed book. That's not an ebook. He and I are co-authoring it, and it's called The Reasons Not to Focus on the Sales Experience. Super fun project. Super glad that we collaborated on this, and that he extending his series of other books in that about customer experience and employee experience. We're going to talk about the reasons not to focus on the sales experience. So definitely wait for more details on that. Also, Richard Thailand, great to hear from you as well. It's been a very long time since we spoke last, and even since I saw you in San Diego, was that 2019? European. So it's great to have you on here. And you're right. I mean, it's so true about the processes, the systems. You know, it's a big one for everything that you do as well. So that's it for this week's session. I appreciate everyone who's tuned in. Again, if you're on LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, please make sure to hit the like button, follow or subscribe. If you're on YouTube, make sure to turn on the bell icon, turn on that notification so you get alerts every single time something comes out. Follow the Cutter Consulting Group business pages on LinkedIn, on Facebook. When in doubt, if you're just listening to this, you're just tuning in for the first time, go to jasoncutter.com, which is a hub for everything that I have going on. And if you would like a guide for sales processes, for the parts that I talked about, where it's those five pieces of the authentic persuasion pathway, the five pillars, and then the transition statements on how to move yourself through that. If that would be valuable for you and help fill that in, I have a free guide that I've put together. Just email me, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com. Again, jason@cutterconsultinggroup.com, and just put in their sales process or transition guide, whichever comes to mind, email me, and then I'll shoot it over to you as an attachment, or wherever you're watching this, if you want to DM me or put a message in the comments, and then I will follow up with you that way. So thank you everyone for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of this. I appreciate you being here and committing your time and your energy to this. And I hope this helps you with selling and persuading with authentic persuasion and helps you close more deals and make more money. Thank you. And I'll see you all next week.
Did you get some inspirations of ways to help your call center sales team win bigger, stronger, and faster? Hope you are fired up to scale your sales operations. If you got value from this podcast, please go in and leave a rating and review. Also, make sure to forward this episode to anyone else you know in the call center space. We appreciate your support in growing the scalable call center sales podcast family. And if you have any comments, ideas, or feedback, contact us at cutterconsultinggroup.com.